everybody, and welcome to the AstroProgs.com Anime Podcast. As always, this podcast is brought to you by a fuck ton of sponsors, but today it is brought to you by Split Reason. Geeker shirts, stuffs. Click the link at the bottom of the page and pick yourself up some awesome geek-themed apparel. And while we don't have stuff as awesome as Split Reason, we do have our own shirts. So go to distroprods.com/store and pick something up. We have shirts, we have hoodies, we have notebooks and iPad sleeves and what have you. And we still have a new t-shirt coming. It should be done very soon. So yeah. Or if you don't feel like giving us money for shirts, you just feel like giving us money, period, then go to distroprods.com/indiegogo. That is I-N-D-I-E-GOGO. And donate. Try and raise $1,000 to help make the site a better place by getting some better equipment to make more content and better content for you guys. We have a YouTube channel and we want to start using it more for less plays and less ridicules and what have you. Or if you don't feel like giving money to us, if you like giving money to dying children, go to distroprods.com/extralife, that's all one word, and donate. Join our team and help raise money or just donate. The top fundraiser and the top donator, if they want to, will be joining us on October 20th for our 24-hour live stream. So yeah, for every penny you don't donate, I smother a child to death with Bobby's hat. So as always, I am your host, Dead Man. Join me today, we have Bobby on.
That hat will hurt. It's got pins on it.
Yeah, Pudge is having internet issues still, but he said he will be moving by the next episode, so he should be on then. And maybe he'll be on Anything Cast at some point. So yeah, we are into our third format in 18 episodes. Yeah, I think the last one only lasted like 3 episodes. Like the last format.
Yeah, but really just the mic plugged there for a minute.
Yeah, your audio was fucking up there.
It's because my mic unplugged and then plugged back in.
Well, yeah, so to give a brief rundown of this thing, we are going to be talking about the series we have been watching and reading. And in the first half and then the back half, and depending on time stuff, we're going to be talking about a one series, like some kind of anime club thing. So yeah, Bobby, what have you been watching and or reading?
All right, so I'm actually going to go back into my usual series very briefly, because I only have a little bit to say about each one, but some different things have been happening. So Naruto recently did a very short filler arc that is either one of the best or one of the worst filler arcs they've done.
Oh, it's one of those.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to say I enjoyed it. Okay. What it was is, it was over the course of about 3 or 4 episodes, they completely recapped the original series.
Okay. So, it was a clip show?
Not really a clip show, more like an abridged version. Like
abridged.
Abridged is what I meant. More like an abridged version. And it was redone in more high-definition animation. Mm-hmm. So it looks like Shippuden, but it's the original series, and yeah, it's abridged. It shows less of the stupid standing there talking stuff, and more of the actual, here's the plot points that you need to see.
Okay. So, did they actually, like, go back and redo, like, animate an entire scene, or did they just, like, update the arc that they had, like they did with Dragon Ball Kai and shit like that?
They reanimated most of it. Some of it they kept, but a lot of it was reanimated.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it is really cool. Naruto's eyes are open.
You don't say.
And the only disappointment is that you don't get to see the Gaara Kimimaro fight redone, because I would love to see that redone with the current style of animation.
Yeah, that was a good fight.
But yeah, as far as filler arcs go for Naruto, that one wasn't too bad. I mean, it was relevant to the story. It gave a recap in case, like me, you only saw the original series, you only watched certain parts of it, and you don't remember it very well, and you just kind of need a recap on everything that happened.
Mm. Yeah, I definitely need that from time to time.
Yeah, so it was actually pretty good. And also, it is a great point for, if anyone wants to start at Shippuden, You say, okay, just watch this block of episodes and then watch Shippuden. And they'll be good. So if Pudgetron were on, and if Pudgetron would ever fucking give Shippuden a chance, which he won't, I would tell him to do that. But he won't, because he's fucking Pudge. I think he thinks he's too good for Naruto. He needs more obscure stuff. He's a bit hipster.
He reads the manga. And he is insanely hipster. We've been over his hipster attire. But yeah, what else you got?
Goddamn hipster. But now it's moved into the actual war arc. So the actual war is starting now.
Cool.
Kabuto has eaten that one, has like pretty much killed that one teacher whose only role in the anime seems to show up and get her ass kicked by Orochimaru. That's all she ever does. She has a curse mark.
Oh yeah, her.
She knows a good chunk of his jutsu. Sorry, I can't speak tonight. But all she ever does is show up and get her ass kicked.
Hmm.
That's it.
Yeah, pretty much.
During the shooting exams, I'm gonna fight you, Orochimaru. Owned. During the war, I'm gonna fight you, Kabuto. Owned.
Yeah.
The worst part about that is her curse mark isn't even sealed. There's nothing stopping her quote-unquote untapped power.
Yeah, it's just kind of there. I'm holding it back with the force of will.
She's not holding it back. That's everything she's got.
Yeah.
Her only role is to get her ass kicked.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure she's dead now. And we've got some great strategy going against the... Am I the only one who thought... I know you read the manga instead of watching the anime. Am I the only one who thought that being told that the resurrected ninja couldn't be killed kind of came out of nowhere?
No, I don't think so. They did... Yeah, when they... I think when, didn't when Orochimaru, resurrect the guys, so when Orochimaru resurrected the first and second Hokage, they couldn't really get killed unless you ripped out their souls. Like, that was the only way Sarutobi defeated them, ripping out their souls.
I didn't know that was necessary to kill them. Maybe it's just because, like I said, I haven't watched the original series in so fucking long.
Mm-hmm.
And, the recap didn't exactly go... That would have been a good thing to toss into the recap, actually. Since we're now dealing with, an army of resurrected ninja. And I know, because I have heard on this podcast that Itachi is going to turn.
Yes.
And, yes, he is.
Because of crows.
Because of crows. I guess that's because I figured some of the ninja were going to turn, and that's got to be because Kabuto's trying to control too fucking many at once.
Well, actually, so far, I think it's only been... I think only Itachi has been able to turn. He's the only one to be able to break free. Everyone else has been their minds are free, but their body isn't.
Yeah, I know that. But I figure the reason for it is... He's got some pretty strong willpower, Kabuto's, it's gotta be spread thin.
But yeah, he doesn't free himself because of willpower, he frees himself because he shoved a crow down Naruto's throat a while back.
Oh, that!
Yeah.
Oh, yeah! That would have been in the recap, except that was part of Shippuden, so it wouldn't have been in the recap.
Yeah, that's why he shoved that bird down Naruto's throat, so he could free himself from the Forbidden Earth thing.
So his whole plan was to become sort of immortal.
Pretty much, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Now they also have this other new thing with the jutsu where, if Kabuto is killed, then none of the resurrection guys can ever die.
Oh.
Kabuto could, release the jutsu, but if you kill him, then the jutsu stays locked forever.
And would they regain their free will? That'd still be pretty chaotic. I mean, you'd have a bunch of villains that can't be killed, but a bunch of really awesome ninja that also can't be killed.
Yeah, they never really went for that. He's doing something now called Izanami, which is, I guess, is the sister thing to Izanagi, which is what Danzo, I think his name is, used.
Right.
Yeah, the guy with all the eyes on his arm.
Yeah, I know Danzo.
You know Izanagi?
Yeah. So, right, the one thing I want to talk about the anime, so we just got given this epic moment, and I'm so looking forward to this fight. Sasori is fighting Kakuzo, who is using a Sasori puppet.
Oh yeah, that happens.
So you got Sasori versus Sasori.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah, man. There's some great fights in that show, in this arc. Like, I'm pretty sure, like, Madara, like, the real Madara actually shows up. It's, like, summons a fucking meteor from the sky.
So, yeah, I have to figure that Kakuzo has become a much better puppeteer, especially since, like, he did the sort of get over here thing to Sasori before.
Yes.
It's like, oh, you've got puppet strings? I grab your puppet strings with my puppet strings and drag you the fuck down.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. That's great.
But moving on, because I didn't want to linger on anyone for too long, we've got Fairy Tail.
Okay.
The Fairy Tail anime has now entered its first filler arc.
Oh, that's gotta be fun.
And I gotta say, I have to applaud Fairy Tail on at least one thing. They went a good long time without hitting a filler arc.
Yeah, like, if this is their first one, like, how far are they in the anime right now?
They've done the 7-year jump.
Damn, dude.
Yeah, they went pretty far without doing a filler arc. There were a couple, you know, oh, here's one or three filler episodes. There was occasionally one of those, but no filler arcs.
Yeah, that is impressive, dude. Like, I actually have to applaud the Fairy Tail people for going that long.
Yeah. The one, I don't know how much I'm going to enjoy this. It kind of looks like it'll be interesting, but mostly it looks like it's stealing everything from every other arc. Like, you might remember from Edelas, Sugar Boy, and I forget the other guy's name. Then Coco.
I remember Edelas. I think that's the Sky City, right? Like the one where, yeah. Like, one where Natsu drives around in a car, and if he gets out, he gets sick.
Yeah, alternate universe. But so Sugar Boy and whatever the other guy's name, and Coco, who was the girl who didn't want to do the whole plan of killing the Exceed. She's the one who kind of turned on them.
Mm-hmm.
Their Earthland versions are here.
Okay.
The one guy's a woman in Earthland. Sugar Boy uses snot magic. I'm not kidding.
God.
And Coco is the most violent, vicious person you will ever meet.
Christ. That. Mm.
So on one level, I kind of feel like this arc is just trying to take from every other arc, including, they're like, we're here for Lucy Heartfelia. It's like, okay, so we've got the Phantom Lord arc.
Mm-hmm.
Just piecing them together.
Frankensteining an arc out of it.
Pretty much. It could be a good arc, but mostly I don't like how overpowered the enemies seem to be. Mm-hmm. Like, honestly, Natsu should have been able to beat them with his eyes closed.
Oh yeah, most definitely.
But for some reason, he's failing. And so there's going to have to be a power increase by the end of the arc, but it can't be an actual power increase because that would change Natsu's power level in the real storyline, so it would be a power increase that really just brings him back to his original power, kind of like in Bleach when they took away Ichigo's Bankai only to subsequently give it back.
Yeah, or like Naruto's Rasengan in literally every Naruto movie.
Oh yeah, when it does fucking nothing?
No, like where it gets like the fucking magical giant fucking Rasengan, which does, he's like he has the bell one, and he has like the weird rainbow one, and he has like the dual giant one, and then he never uses it again.
Oh, by the way, the latest Naruto movie, it raped Sage Mode.
Oh god.
No longer is his coat an actual piece of clothing. It now magically appears when he goes into Sage Mode.
Oh yeah, it's like It's like, what's his name? Ichigo's, Sakata, it's actually fit together.
That never happens in the anime. But also, his Sage mode sucks in the movie. Unbelievably so.
How so does it suck?
It doesn't do anything for him. It's like, the people who wrote the movie knew that Sage mode existed, but they didn't know exactly what it does. And he doesn't throw his futon resin shuriken in the movie. It's like, he has to throw it, or he'll die! I got off topic onto Naruto again, but fuck, I hate that movie. But yeah, Fairy Tail, it's in a filler arc. First one ever, hopefully it won't be too long, hopefully it will be bearable, but it's in a filler arc. Moving on, Moretsu Pirates. So, lesbians. So, what recently happened, the arcs are like, what I laughingly call arcs are about 3 or 4 episodes in this anime. They're really fucking short.
Okay.
So, I guess we can assemble all this into one arc. So, the crew of the Bentenmaru got sick. Everyone except the captain. So, she took her high school yacht club and had them pilot the Bentenmaru to do pirating missions so that they wouldn't lose their pirating license. So, a bunch of high school girls piloting a pirate ship and acting as pirates.
Oh, yeah, that just sounds kind of surreal.
When she is suddenly given one of the biggest jobs she gets. The former, now graduated from the high school, the former president of the yacht club is being forced into this arranged marriage by her uncle, who for some reason is never kept in check by her parents, who actually have more of a stake in the big company she's a part of, who is trying to ruin her because her side business is doing really well or whatever. So he's trying to kind of destroy her without killing her, because if he just kills her, that doesn't work.
Why not?
Because then he'll go to jail.
and they don't get
what he wants.
Not if they don't find out about it.
They'll find out about it. Also, if he tried to kill her, she'd kill him first. She's kind of badass.
Okay.
So anyways, he's trying to force her to this arranged marriage. So basically, the vice president, or the new president of the yacht club, who was previously the vice president of the yacht club, hires the Bentenmaru to kidnap her.
Okay. And then hijinks ensue.
And then they don't end up kidnapping her. Instead, she runs away after shooting at a bunch of guards and stealing a high-tech fighter plane.
Okay, this show's weird.
She boards the Bentenmaru, only for them to be chased, and they're shooting at each other. And then immediately starts making out with the new president of the yacht club.
Oh, okay, why?
Because they are an item. They are together. I'm not surprised, actually.
So, with everything that you've said so far, it seems like the kind of thing that would just, you know, drop of a hat, hey, we're lesbians now.
Actually, no, there were kind of hints at it. Well, the new president, you can really tell. She's kind of butch. She's got short hair. And the old president, you kind of felt she had that constant closeness with the vice president.
Okay.
So it wasn't that surprising. But over the next few episodes, there's plenty. Every time something good happens, there's plenty of scenes where they just start making out and everyone on the ship just watches them.
What, so they just stand there staring at them? Is it like, yep. Is it like an awkward stare? Like
they're all grinning.
Oh god, that is so creepy. That sounds so creepy.
They're all so happy to see the president and the former president are in love. I guess it's a very liberal planet.
Yeah, all I'm picturing with that is like just like all the girls are just like in one giant body. They're just like holding a like a doll of the president and a doll like the new president. It's like, now kiss. The stereo is like, look, they're happy. They're so happy. I'm living vicariously through them because I can't find happiness.
So yeah, then her uncle shows up and tries to blow the ship up. fails because, you know, Madoka's actually awesome as a pirate captain.
Okay.
So even with a crew of high school students, she does really, really fucking well. Right, I didn't explain why they had... Oh, I kind of did.
Yeah, everyone got sick.
Yeah, and they were put in isolation. So yeah, then she takes the job and says, well, we don't really have a choice. We're going to have to destroy her uncle. Or she actually says, take down her uncle. And I'm like, fuck, are they finally going to kill someone? No, they just find some evidence and turn him over to the police.
Oh, well, that's
it was
bullshit.
Kind of a letdown. I want them to kill the fucker.
I mean, they're fucking pirates, dude.
Yeah, but they kind of have to act within the law. It's weird. Although, technically, they're like an extension of the military. That's what the letter of mark means. Mm-hmm. So,
they could have just killed
the fact that he shot at them means they could have killed the fucker.
Yeah, just, come on, you fucking pirates, run through with the cutlass, then rape them. That's what pirates do, right?
Well, it was pirates, but also a bunch of high school girls in cosplay. Because Marika's friend makes costumes for them, but instead of making them all, you know, pirate outfits, she makes them a bunch of random cosplay outfits.
Well, hey, they can still rape.
especially the octopus one.
Yeah, female rape's a thing. Okay, what else you got?
Sankaraya. I talked about this a bit on the Anything Cast.
Oh, Sankaraya. What do you think of it?
I enjoy it. I've only watched the first episode / read the first chapter. I did both.
Okay.
Within about 15 minutes of each other. Because basically, yeah, I was at the anime meeting, and I was given a few chapters of manga, and Mike's just like, pick one of these and we'll watch it. Kind of peruse the other ones. They didn't really hold my interest. And I, this one, I'm like, hey, this is pretty good. But yeah, so necrophilia.
Yeah, so I've talked about this show on, I've talked about the series in the show before, but I guess recap. So there's a guy, Fudiu, who loves zombies. And when we say loves, we mean loves.
Like, he wants to fuck a zombie.
Yeah. And so he found like a, so one day like his cat died and he was sad, but he found a book that happened to have the instructions for a resurrection potion in it. And he thought, hey, I can make my own zombies. Then one day when he was up at the facility where he was doing experiments on his cat, a girl comes along. They start hanging out, and then she takes some of the potion thing to try to kill herself. But just turns herself into a zombie. Now they're living together. Hijinks ensue.
So, I guess I'll go over the two basic differences between the manga and the anime.
Okay.
One, the anime throws in some extra stuff. You see more about Furuyu's family. There's a little more introduction for each character. Things happen in a slightly different order. Not much. Mm-hmm. The one big thing for the first episode, I gotta say, though, is in the manga chapter, it right off the bat shows you Sankaraya as a zombie, and it goes, this isn't actually happening, is it? And it flashes back to a day earlier.
Hmm.
The anime does the opposite. It shows everything else and it goes one day later.
That is really weird.
And actually, thinking about it, High School of the Dead, and there's a lot of things that do it backwards. High School of the Dead didn't, actually. But there's a lot of things that do it backwards.
Mm-hmm.
They switch it around. I don't know why. I guess it just is apparently more appealing in anime if you have to wait for the payoff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, what else can I say other than zombie fetish?
Yeah, I also thought I'm going to be saying about stuff that happens later in the series, in the manga, because I've read a lot of that. But yeah, so what else you got?
That was actually it.
Okay, so I guess that leads great into my thing. So, Sankaraya. So, in the manga, it seems to kind of flip between two different feels. The skeevy, kind of messed up feel, and the slice of life, but oh yeah, she's a zombie feel. it's kind of slipped back into the messed up skeezy bit. So, what's kind of been, what kind of, like, everyone's been saying, so Fernie's grandpa turns out was the one who wrote the book and created the zombie resurrection formula. And he has an assistant there now who just happens to be studying zombies and shit. And so she wants to study Rhea because something weird happened. So at one point, she went into the confused state, which is a point where the zombie just turns into pretty much a regular zombie. They want to eat people. And so what happened was Rhea took a bite out of Fidiu, and then he just kind of managed to talk her down and get her out of the confused state by saying he loved her or something. I can't really remember that far back. And the assistant was just like, okay, that's never happened before. I need to study this. And so also the cat, Babu, has been acting a bit weird, so Fidiu falls into the forest, where he sees Babu brutally murder another cat. Just, you know, cuz. And so before he can get a chance to like get Babu back in the box and get him home, the assistant's owl comes down and shreds him to pieces. And so he's still alive, but he's in a horrible bloody pile. So Fidiu puts him in a box and takes him home. And then he tries to stitch it back together, saying, it'll be fine, you'll be able to walk out of this, it'll be absolutely fine. And like crying kind of the whole thing. And then he just decides to burn his cat because you couldn't really see any way of him surviving like that. And Rhea pulls him out of the fire. And that's kind of where the chapter left off. It's gotten into the bit... So yeah, like I said, it's gotten a bit messed up now. Because, like, the art of the cat is actually kind of terrifying. Yeah, think a smaller version of the four-tail fox cloak. On a cat. Covered in blood. And then torn to shreds by a fucking owl. Or hawk. Some kind of bird. Man, it's cool. And it's... Yeah, I don't really want what else to say, but it's... I do like this... I do like what it's doing right now, because... It's kind of... setting up the major problem in that... Eventually... Like, the assistant has been saying that eventually Ray is just going to go fucking insane and try to kill Fidiu. But Fidiu refuses to believe it like he did with his cat. And it showed him just kind of trying to accept it, but Rhea is like holding onto it, so there might be something like that coming up where Fidiu has to like try, or like she actually does go crazy and Fidiu can't like bring her back, and so he has to either try to destroy her or like try to, or like keep trying to help her because that's kind of who he is. Like he does love this girl, but he also may need to destroy her. And it's kind of cool. I like it. So, moving on to Count Trouble. So, the Angels...
What's that? Cow Troubles?
Yes, Cow Troubles, the amazing graphic novel coming soon from DeathStarProducts.com. But no, Count Trouble. So throughout the entire series, Sasura has been trying to get this guy, whose name escapes me, to hook up with this other girl, whose name escapes me. And they finally did. They are now dating, and they're together and shit. And this kind of led to something, because, so Sasura, she... at this point, she's been like a 10-year-old girl. Like, just really small, just hat and the small bodies and shit. And then, because those two are now together, she got like a power-up, and now she's like 25. With tits. And antics ensue. Yeah, like, she kind of became that, and then she, like, rewrote to make sure that she was living in this house fine and not, like, raising any eyes about, like, why are you living with a 10-year-old girl dressed like a witch? She kind of, like, rewrote the guy's family's memories to make everyone think that she was the guy's younger sister. And now what she did was she rewrote everyone's memory to make them think that she is the older sister. And so what she's been doing is just going around trying to, like, rub it into other angels' face because there's more than one angel. Like, the first one, she just kind of showed up and that angel, like, started crying and then she, like, put her hand in his head. Well, like, the other, she tried to, like, go and hit Sasura and she, like, put her foot on her head and just, like, was holding her back, like, ha, 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 fucking little bitch. And then she went and saw this other angel who was still like 10 years old, and that angel whipped Sasura's ass. It was awesome. But yeah, apparently this is only temporary, so it's probably going to be returning to the status quo at some point. But the weird thing is, there's this other girl, I'm pretty sure her name's Mako. She's a friend of the main guy, and she loves him. Like, this is known. This is a known thing. And yet, and like, one of the angels is actually there to try to get her to hook up with, what's his face, Huzitz. But it's kind of cool, like, seeing, it speaks to her character, because she is actually trying to help him be happy with this girl, even though she wants him for herself. And I like it. Could use some feedback from you, Bobby.
Yeah, sorry, it's... I don't really have much to add. having not read the series myself, I know it's something I should be reading.
Do you have any questions?
No, we've talked about this one before. So I do know the basic premise of it. Actually, I forget exactly how it works. I know that numbers are a big part of it, and he keeps fucking up the spells that get cast.
Yeah, Sasuke keeps casting spells on him, but her spells are, like, number-based.
Right.
Yeah, usually around the number 10, so, like, he needs to do something like... Like, there was one where he had, like, hold on to someone's hand for 10 seconds to find out who they actually love.
And okay.
So he fucked that up by holding on to Mako's hand and then seeing the arrow come from her to him, realizing that she was in love with him. But there was another one, like, if your heart beats 10 times while thinking about this girl, then you'll, like, all your thoughts will be broadcast to the entire world.
That seems like a really bad one.
Yeah, there's also one where, like, a little headphone, and then I said a wish to this little doll thing, and then it would just, like, make it happen. Like, there was one bit where the guy was like, I wish we could be alone, and then all of a sudden, like, a giant fucking condor flies down from the sky, grabs both, and drops them on a deserted island. But yeah, so that happens.
So yeah, I knew somewhat how it worked, just not exactly. So, you know, I got the premise of it, if shit gets screwed up by magic and hilarity ensues.
Yeah. But it's kind of gotten, like, really heartfelt, because with the relationship stuff, it's all, like, I'm pretty sure that this girl, this is her first relationship she's been in. And when they actually reveal why she... Like, at one point he says, like, I love you, please go out with me. And she says no. And the revelation of why she can't is just really retarded. Like, hilarious. And then it gets easily resolved because she had her info wrong. Like, do you care for spoilers right now?
Go ahead.
Okay, so yeah, spoiler alert for Count Trouble, I guess. So he reveals that, hey, I love you, please go out with me. And she says, no, we can't, because you're a Pisces and I'm a Leo, and we wouldn't go well together. Like, that was her entire rationale for why we can't date. We have the wrong astrological signs.
Did she get his sign wrong?
Yes. It's like, you were born, it's like, no, I was born here. So he runs back inside, it's like, hey, we're good now, let's go out. And it's literally like in the course of like 5 panels that happens. It's like, you were born this day, so you're this. It's like, no, I'm not. I was born on this day, so I'm this. It's like, oh, really? Let me go check something. She runs back inside. He just kind of stands out there for a second. Then she bursts through the door. It's like, hey, we're good.
You know, I always have to question people on astrology. Here's my one really good question for them. Mm-hmm. I was a scheduled cesarean section, so I was forcibly born early. Had I been born when I was supposed to be born, I would be a Virgo. But I'm a Leo. Which one am I?
You're a Legro. A Lurgo. Lurgo, yeah, let's go with Lurgo.
I like to argue that for people who, you know, use astrology and shit.
Yeah. Well, so... actually, when they actually start, like, dating, it is kind of funny because neither of them have ever been in a relationship before. So they're both just, like, stumbling through it as best they can, and they usually fuck everything up. Like, the first time they go out, they are both, like, insanely uncomfortable and awkward throughout the entire thing.
Gee, all this is sounding really familiar.
Because I keep repeating it, or...?
No.
Oh, okay.
because of my life.
Yeah, and so like he goes in. There's one point where the guy goes up and talks to like a friend of his, saying, "Hey, I need some relationship advice. What do I do?" And the guy who's like just kind of an asshole, he's like, "I don't want to go do all this stupid bullshit." And he just like takes it all verbatim, like doesn't realize that he was like trying to just get him to go away and was making fun of him. He just took it all verbatim, and it works. They actually have a pretty good date. And then he just comes back the next day. He's like, "Please teach me more." He's like, "Wow, what the fuck's wrong with you?" Yeah, and it's good. I like it. Like the romance is kind of like gooey and like movie romance shit, but I think it works for this kind of series. And it's interesting adding the angel magic angle to it. Try saying that 5 times fast.
And it seems like you do get some emotional closure. There's no, okay, when are they gonna fuck? Oh, never. Okay.
Yeah, like they actually have like been together. I'm not sure if they've actually kissed or anything, because they're still like in that really awkward stage. Because you know it's an anime or manga.
Yeah, the awkward stage. That stage is awkward.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering how the other girl, who I'm pretty sure her name is Mako. Not entirely sure. I could be completely wrong on that. But I'm wondering how she's going to play into it, because she still has feelings for this guy, and her angel is still there. So is she going to try to, like... It's actually weird, because it's actually like a love quadrangle. It's like a love square. Because you got the main guy in love with the main girl, but then you have the girl Mako, who's in love with the main guy, and then you have this other girl who's in love with Mako, who also has an angel. Her angel is the badass one. So she is trying to get... So the one angel is trying to get this girl to hook up with the Mako chick, and her angel is trying to get her to hook up with the main guy, while his angel is trying to get him to hook up with the other girl, who they did, so she turned into like a 25-year-old for a short period of time. Yeah, it's like a love centipede.
The mechanics of this love situation start to look like the diagram for Rock, Paper, Scissors, Lizard, Spock.
Pretty much. It's really weird, but I am really interested in where they go from here. Okay, well, moving on to Underdog. So, talk about the series before. It got awesome. So, the entire, like, point of... So, like, a guy gets into a tournament, and where he, like... I'm not sure what it's actually called, but it's like, "Do you want to rule the world?" was the pitch. And so he's in a tournament where he has to fight somebody, but he can't physically harm them in any way. He has to either get someone else to kill them, indirectly, or get that person to kill themselves.
Right, now I remember this. It's like, I know you've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so the guy he's fighting is actually fucking brilliant, because that guy who he's fighting is a serial killer who's been going around killing women, and he's planted planted all the evidence that... from, like, every single crime scene toward this main guy. And so then the cops, you know, acting like cops, proceed to arrest him and beat the fuck out of him. You know, it's like, "Hey, so we have some evidence." It's like, "Hey, so we have some evidence." The kid starts running away and then grab him and then put him in a dark room with a single light and beat the fuck out of him. And this other guy that they have is just really fucking creepy, because he drugs the main guy's sister, kidnaps her, and then start shooting giant crossbow bolts at her. Not actually shooting her, just like shooting them at her so that her entire body is like intertwined and stuck in one position for as long as they can, because she can't move because of all the crossbow bolts. And now we actually see him like get into the tournament, like actually start... He is... I want to see what this guy does. Because for the longest time... Because, like, beforehand, he was just like, "Oh, fuck everything." He actually poisoned a kid, which I loved. But we haven't seen him actually go on the offensive. But now we're starting to see that, because he actually... Because the guy he's fighting has a, like, confidant, like a therapist who's, like, really into raping young boys. And so then he started taking pictures of her while doing it. Gets the kid to get out there. He's like, "Hey, you want me to show these to police? Tell me what the fuck you know." And it is really cool seeing him starting to get some traction under his feet and actually get into the tournament. I'd love to see where it goes from here, and I'll love to see what he does. And I also want to know whose next opponent's going to be, because if this guy is his first opponent, I cannot imagine what his second one's going to be. It's good. I really recommend this series. It is fucked up, but it's awesome. Yeah.
It seems like it would have that psychological aspect that I would really enjoy.
Yeah, it kind of does, because like the entire time, the main guy is pretty much losing his mind. Like, the entire time you just see, like, this really hastily scratched in text of, like, oh, God, what the fuck's happening? What's going on? What do? I need to get out of the tournament, but I can't. If I do, I die. What the fuck is happening? And he's, like, sweating. His eyes, like, have, like, bags under bags because he hasn't been sleeping for days or something.
I also kind of meant, you know, without physically harming other people, getting them into the situation where they're going to die.
Yes!
It kind of sounds to me like it might have a bit of a Death Note feel there.
It actually kind of feels like Final Destination, but with people. And I know that's not going to be your thing, but it's like setting up all these things, which then, with like all these people's deaths, which then lead back to someone else who then has to try to explain while not explaining what happened and trying to get themselves out and then fighting back. Like, it does sort of have a Death Note feel to it, but without all the, like, mind control bitness of it. There isn't actually any magic or anything like that. It's just two dudes trying to kill each other without touching each other.
Yeah, and that really seems like something I would enjoy.
Yeah, you would probably enjoy it. It's really good. Okay, I've been reading some Breaker New Waves. So, it turns out that the skeevy street hobo doctor who's been giving the main character pills is not on the up and up.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So,
I thought all street hobo doctors who gave out pills were totally legit.
Yeah, I know. I'll never be able to trust Crazy Larry again. Yeah, so in the first Breaker, the main character, Shiyun, he got his like key center crushed, so now he can't use martial arts anymore. Because in this universe, martial arts can only be used by people who have like a constant flow of ki in their body. So he no longer had that, and they found this hobo street doctor, who looked kinda like his teacher, Gumiho Ryong, or otherwise known as the Nine Arts Dragon, but it turns out he is just an entirely different dude. So he's been giving him these pills that temporarily give him a new key center for 30 minutes. It lets him use martial arts again for a short period of time. And so he's been taking the pills and, like, doing training and shit. Like, he's doing this thing, like, spiritual training where he, like, goes inside his mind and uses his spirit to fight a mental representation of his enemies. And he's also been doing just regular training. But he runs out of pills and goes to the doctor, who then straps him down to a table and says, I'm going to cut you open and use you as ingredients in other pills.
Okay, then.
Yeah, because it turns out that the Gumiho Ryong's like girlfriend or something, one of the main characters from the previous series, even though it looked like she got really dead, she's still alive, and they need this guy to this guy's internalness to heal her, because while he can't use martial arts, he still has a retardedly quick healing factor. Like, he can get like every bone in his body broken and be up and walking in a day.
Alright.
Yeah, and there's also been stuff going on where like the Mudim attacked his mom, so he's like, I'm gonna fucking kill some people if I knew martial arts, which I can't do anymore. Because, yeah. Yeah, it's cool. It's fucking Breaker, and I love Breaker. So moving on, I guess. The Freezing. So, for the last little bit, they've been doing this arc about E-Pandoras. So in this world, Pandoras are women who get this little thing called Nova Stigma, which are pieces of, I guess, the Nova, which are the enemies, put into their backs, which then let them use special powers. But only certain women can use it. There's like a synchronization rate. It's kind of like the Evas in Evangelion, where only certain people can use them. So certain people have like really high affinities for stigmas, other people have no affinity for it. And so the E-Pandora experiment was to get the women who have absolutely no like synchronicity with the stigma to be able to use the stigma and bolt weapons and such. But the clandestine head of the government, the Chevalier, have less than pure intentions for them. I know, shocking. So they want to, like, use this drug called Mark IV, which would end up killing all the Pandoras. And they're all, and the main one, Amelia, is like, fuck that. She takes it, gets a power boost, and tries to tell the world about what the government's doing to the E-Pandoras. But she turns into a Nova. Cause, yeah. And then she starts, like, all lower-level Pandoras, she starts, like, controlling them with her mind and shit. And it's cool. And we also actually got to see Chiffon, who's known as a smiling monster who we haven't really seen do anything awesome lately. She ripped someone's arms off. Barehanded.
Alright.
Yeah, like, she is so strong that, like, the strongest people in a group 1 year younger than her, they try to attack her, their weapons shatter on her arms. She is, like, so fucking insane and powerful that she doesn't consider herself human.
You know, it's things like this that just make me have to say that people who make Chuck Norris jokes need to watch some fucking anime.
Oh, yeah.
You cannot come up with awesome shit more than Japan can.
No, you cannot. Motherfucker, if Chuck Norris was in an anime, he would be dead within the first 10 seconds.
Then again, freezing, isn't that Korea?
It's manhwa.
Yeah.
But yeah, still, manhwa, manga, manhua, if you're Chinese. I don't know how I actually pronounce it. I just call it manhua to differentiate it from manhua. Yeah, freezing. Tits and dismemberment. And Novas. And it's awesome and shit. And Chiffon, I'm pretty sure, is about to go fucking batshit insane. It's going to be awesome. Because, like, the last chapter that I saw of her, it's been a couple chapters that I've read, but it's just, like, dark aura of energy around her with a really sinister smile on her face. Which is, like, the exact opposite of how she's been throughout the entire series up to this point. Like, even before this, she's just been, like, a nice kind of she's been, like, a non-imposing force, but everyone respects her and fears her. The only time she ever really did anything badass was she just kind of, at one point, she, like, moved, like, faster than the eye could perceive. And, like, disarmed, like, three people at once. He was like, oh, what are you doing with all these weapons? Like, what the hell? How'd you do that? I didn't even see her. But now she just has her fucking gauntlets out. She is fucking shit up, and it's awesome. And freezing can't work on her. Like, all the different Pandoras, they have all the different, like, limiters, they have this ability called freezing.
Yeah, I know that mechanic. You've talked about freezing enough.
Yeah.
So you can't...
She is not affected by it.
So she is an unstoppable killing force.
Yes. Ooh, and also apparently freezing gives you telepathy.
Okay.
Yeah, like, I don't know why they have mentioned this before, but apparently if you use freezing right, you can, like, go into the mind of your Pandora partner. So yeah, that's cool. So yeah, freezing, it's awesome. Check it out. And it does it for what I read and watched and stuff.
On to Cowboy Bebop.
Yes, on to the Destro Pros Anime Club, I guess. We're going to talk about Cowboy Bebop. So how many episodes did you watch again?
I watched 3.
I watched 4. So we not exactly...
Failed.
Yeah, so not exactly the most in-depth analysis of Cowboy Bebop.
But I find it's similar with Samurai Champloo, because it's the same creator. You don't need that much, because it's not really following a single arcing storyline. It's more just a collection of individual episodes. There might be the occasional two-parter.
Yeah, but there hasn't been one that I've seen.
And I guess even Samurai Champloo had more of a single overarching storyline. I mean, it was their journey to find the Sunflower Samurai, whereas in this, it's just
bounty hunters.
I'm a bounty hunter.
Yeah.
And yeah, by the way, I knew nothing about Cowboy Bebop going into it, other than, you know, it had bebop music and influence in its style, and there was cowboys. I had no idea that it was space cowboys. I saw the space, and I'm like, ooh, space cowboys, that's my favorite kind.
Yeah, like, the first thing that really caught me on, like, that caught me was the music. So, it was really weird, like, the music. Because, like, at the beginning, it had, like, the jazzy, I guess that's the bebop style music or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it had that music, and then they get in, and all of a sudden it's fucking Western music, like, with the harmonica and the slide guitar. And then the next one, it's all, like, percussions and shit, like, bongo drums and all that jazz. And then after that, it was something entirely different. And it was weird and kind of cool. But I did really like the music. I really love the theme song. I really love the theme song of that fucking show.
Yeah.
Great theme song.
You know, it makes me think of also the theme song from Bacchano. Both of those shows.
Oh, yeah,
really good fucking theme songs.
That's where I fucking recognized it from. Like, I was just, like, racking my brain, like, this sounds so familiar. Why can't I fucking place it?
It does have quite a few similarities to the opening to Bacchano.
Yes, it does.
The one thing I gotta say I wasn't expecting was I forgot how much of a time gap there was between this and Samurai Champloo. So I didn't realize it would be such an older style of animation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a bit dated.
Like a little bit.
Like, especially in, like, female designs.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, I guess, plot breakdown. Go, Bobby.
Pretty simple. Fuck, I've suddenly forgotten the main character's name. I knew it.
Spike Spiegel.
So you got Spike Spiegel. He is a bounty hunter, or space cowboy. And he's got his mechanic jet on his ship, which is called the Bebop. So basically, the series just follows Spike going on different bounty hunting missions, which, in all the episodes I watched, he never once collects a bounty.
No, he does not.
I'm guessing this happens a lot.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. Cause,
let's see.
Like, he's awesome. He's they've shown him as, like, a skilled pickpocket and very skilled fighter.
And he's a fucking good shot.
Yeah. Yeah, he is that.
But you have to take in your bounties alive.
Yeah. Which is unfortunate because most people Spike ends up fighting with usually die.
Well, I can break down what happens with his first three bounties. Mm-hmm. So, bounty number one, gets shot in the head by his girlfriend.
Yes.
Bounty number two is...
He crashes into the police station.
Yeah, he crashes into the police station, and Spike ends up with the dog.
Yes.
Forget
bounty, the dog's name.
Bounty number three steals $30 million from Spike and runs away. And he doesn't even seem to care.
Yeah, it is. He is. Yeah, so. God, I can't even. My head is so confused right now. Record this kind of late at night. But yeah, it is. I watched the dub of it. What did you watch? The sub?
Sub.
Yeah,
I did view a little bit of the dub.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't much like it. It wasn't the worst I've heard, but
I didn't mind it. It was enjoyable. I dug it.
Well, most people, you know, they talk about whether or not the dub is good. The thing is, I'm so into watching it subbed. It's not that, you know, I want to be supremacist or anything or whatever people say about subbed watchers. I'm used to watching my anime in subbed, so I watch dubbed if the subbed is really bad. Hmm. For me, it's a question of, is the Japanese audio track good? If it is, I'm going to watch it, regardless of how good the dub is. Yeah.
For me, it's usually a question of what I find first. Like, if I find the dub first, I'll watch it for a bit. If I hate it, I'll go find the sub. But with this one, I found the dub first, I watched it, I liked it.
Yeah. Just for a short list of anime that I've seen that I much prefer the dub. Well, one's not really an anime. Final Fantasy VII Advent Children. And Dragon Ball Z.
Okay, so back to Cowboy Bebop.
This is...
Yeah.
There's not much else to say about the plot other than that.
Okay, so what do you think of the show?
It's entertaining. Like we said before, it is a bit dated.
Yeah, just a bit. Like,
some of the
animation priorities on it, you could tell, like, it's pretty easy to determine, like, a flat matte backdrop to just the shit that actually going to be animating.
Yeah, the other thing, though, the thing that constantly pulled me out of it is this is the future and all that, but I guess this anime was made, I don't know, before internet? Because yeah, so. He gets his bounties off of television.
Yes, Space TV. Yeah, so Big Shot for Bounty Hunters is a TV show that's always broadcast by a guy who, I think it's black, he might be... It's weird, like, he's black, but he talks, like, with a mix of Southern and Latino accents. In the dub.
And yeah. Then a cowboy girl who has some amount of double-sided tape put into her outfit.
Yeah. And so they just say, hey, we got... But it's weird, like, in the first episode, they didn't have that. They had, like, an actual, like, full, like, Reddit readout screen with, like, all right, so we have this guy, he's worth this much, he's lasting here, here, and here, and then got all that stuff. But then all of a sudden, it's just, hey, welcome to Big Shot for Bounty Hunters! Yeah!
Yeah, and every time I see that, it pulls me out, because it's the future, and they're watching the fucking TV to get their info.
Maybe they're streaming it. Maybe it's Netflix.
But with a bounty, you want info. Like, even... And I don't want any comments out there about... Oh, it's... You know, it's not one of the marvelous futures. It's got its rundownness to it. So did Firefly. Firefly did the space western world perfectly. And, you know, they could get information on a screen about things.
Yeah.
They still had some version of Google. Fuck, you know what? The Alliance, they probably are Google. But on to the Cowboy Bebop,
yeah,
which so... I don't have that much more to say about. Unfortunately, it's pretty good. I give it maybe a 3.5 or a 4.
Yeah, just one thing I want to ask you about. So, first episode, he's hunting down a guy named Asimov. I'm pretty sure that's his name. And he's using something called, like, Bloody Red.
Oh, yeah. Why doesn't that ever come back?
And also, what does it do? Like, that... Like, all I... Like, when we saw it, just sprayed it into his eye, then all of a sudden everything went red and kind of slow-mo and choppy, and then all of a sudden he just started killing people. He doesn't really explain what it does. It's just like... And they don't... And they never explain what it does. It's like, it's called Bloody Mary. He used to run out of, like, 50 vials of it. And when they first use it, like, is it the stuff? Prove it. Oh, God! And they just start fucking murdering everyone. And they never explain what it actually does.
Yeah, it's something you would expect to come back. Or yeah. To be explained and to come back.
Yeah.
Either or, preferably both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also just... One thing I don't understand. When they went to Tijuana, like, or TJ as Jet called it, was that another planet, or were they on Earth?
Who the hell knows?
Yeah, it's never really clearly explained, like, where, when, what, like, what planet they are on at any given time. But yeah, when I watched up to, they actually just brought on a new female character, who you saw, and in episode 3. But she is now back, and has supplanted herself into the team.
You want my team, bitch? Give me my fucking money.
She wasted it all on clothing.
Then give me your fucking clothing.
She did.
Okay, yeah. Then.
Yeah, so I guess we're square. Yeah, and also we got, like, some... We also got a bit more of an explanation of, like, hyperspace. Because apparently you could get trapped in hyperspace. Yeah, like, there's one bit in that episode where... So there's a group of terrorists, like, ecological terrorists who are saying, leave the sea rats on this planet alone, man. And, like, unless you don't, then we're... Like, they put a bounty out on the leader of the, like, terrorist cells, who everyone calls Mom, for some reason. They put, like, a bounty on her, and then Spike gets her. And he also has, like, a vial of the virus that she's using and stuff, but then the people threaten to use the virus they call monkey business, which refers people into monkeys. Their explanation for it is kind of shit. Like, they're saying, oh, like, the two... Like, the human-monkey DNA strands are only, like, 2% difference, so this virus attacks at 2%. Yeah, okay. But yeah, so he uses that. He's threatened to use that, but then they trap her in hyperspace with the missiles that she used to launch a virus, And then Jess says, like, didn't you pay attention to physics class? Things trapped in hyperspace can be perceived by the naked eye in this dimensional plane, but they can't interact with matter in this dimensional plane or something. It's weird. It's really weird.
Yeah, so that's... That and your pointing out of the red eye, I think, probably has me securing it at a 3.5 instead of a 4.
Yeah, so, Cowboy Bebop. It's alright.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Honestly, Pudge was telling me I was going to like it so much more than Samurai Champloo, but you know what? Samurai Champloo, I watched one episode, and I'm like, this is so fucking amazing! And I couldn't stop watching. I don't get that with this.
Yes.
There's things pulling you out, and there's not as much investment in it. Yeah, I hate to disagree with the hipster, but I disagree with the hipster.
I mean, like, it's interesting, it's entertaining at least, but it's not great.
And I definitely don't agree with better than Samurai Champloo.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that gets to do it for this week. So next episode, we'll be talking for the Anime Club. We'll be talking about another. This is a series I talked about before. I fucking love it. And it's only 12 episodes, so I expect you to watch the whole thing, Bobby. You need to get the whole story, dude.
Okay.
Oh, come on, dude. It's 12 episodes. It's not like this one is 26.
Anime North.
Oh, yeah. We're going to Anime North.
Yeah, I'm going to be there for 4 days and cosplays and shit.
Yeah. I'm going to go down on Friday and I'll have to leave on Saturday because... shit. But I will be missing that final bus. No one will get that. But yeah. So we're going to be watching another next week. We're going to be watching another next episode, I mean. And be sure to come back tomorrow for a commentary on Batman and Robin. And be sure to check out allgames.com on Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern for our live show. So, yeah. Thank you for that. Till then, I'm dead.
I'm Bovywan, and I will be tweeting constantly my locations at Anime North.
We'll see you guys next time.